All right, we're going to start out this morning reading from Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going to start with verse 16 and go a little ways into chapter 4, actually. So here's what Matthew says about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written that he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. If you don't have a Bible, we have free Bibles for you here this morning. And if you go to the hub after the service, we would love, just tell them that you would like a Bible. We would love to give you one. The wilderness. It's a word that really just evokes a lot of different things for us, isn't it? It's a lot of images in our mind when we think of the word wilderness. Now, for some, and probably for me, that term, I just imagine this forest-covered mountains. You know, just this stillness and this quiet beauty full of adventure out in the middle of nowhere. When you think of the word wilderness, maybe you have a different image. Maybe you have an image of the desert. You know, something that's just devoid of life and barren, dry. I remember when I first moved from the Coleraine area to Ross, there was this place that was wilderness to me called Oceana. Maybe you've heard of it. Didn't know how to get there, didn't know how to get back if I did. So for me, that images of like Oceana are evoked when I think wilderness. I actually think the place that I really enjoyed the most when I think about wilderness is I got to spend some time in Montana several years ago with both of my boys, and we just did this hike on top of this beautiful overlook into Idaho, and I mean like the forest-covered mountains, right, and the stream below, and you couldn't hear anything. I mean, there was no road noise, there was no people noise, there was no planes flying overhead, only the wind on top of the mountain rustling through the trees. It was beautiful. It was very much wilderness. But still, when others of us think about what that word actually means, you may not think of a physical space, maybe as much as you feel like wilderness for you might be a season in your life, something that you're going through. And maybe it's the high school is ending soon, or college is ending soon, or you feel like your childhood is really almost over and you're feeling aimless because you don't know what's next. Wilderness. Maybe you're dealing with a health battle and the present for you is really scary. It's unknown. The future is just as scary and unknown, and that's a wilderness. Maybe you're between jobs. Maybe money issues keep you up at night. Maybe there's been an addiction, something that's just always just drawn your heart and your mind, and it's reared its ugly head again. Wilderness. Maybe your marriage is suffering. Maybe you have teenage children, or maybe adult children, and you just see them wandering. Maybe your relationships could be defined just as you just feel lonely. You feel hurt. It's wilderness. Maybe you're trying to figure out who you are. Really, like really, who you are and what your purpose is. Maybe you're in a faith crisis. You might be in a season in your life where you don't even know what you believe anymore. See, no matter the wilderness, no matter how you describe it, no matter how you define it or what images are pop up in your head, the wilderness for us is always a place of a feeling of isolation, of quietness sometimes a quiet, just raging noise, a place of crisis, confusion, challenge, or pain. That's wilderness. Have you ever been there? Whether you're a follower of Jesus, or maybe you don't even know what you believe about Jesus, and if that's the case, we're really glad that you're here. But every single one of us will find ourselves and have found ourselves in a wilderness season in life. And here's something that I want you to know today. And that is that in the wilderness, we encounter God. In the wilderness, we encounter God. So in this passage that we just read, Matthew chapter 3, Jesus has just been baptized. Okay? Now, baptism for Jesus was a way of his submission to God. Okay? And it was like an inauguration into his ministry, all right? That was like the start of his submitting to God's mission and his start into ministry. And we see another sign of that by the Holy Spirit coming down on him from heaven, the Holy Spirit descending on him, all right? And it seems like at this point, all right, that Jesus, he's the Son of God, is here, he's arrived. I feel like after his baptism, Holy Spirit, this is like some pretty amazing moments, there should have been like some great celebration that happened afterwards, some sort of like march toward Jerusalem or something, or maybe some grand miracle that Jesus would perform that would further excite the crowd, but that's not what happens. We're told that immediately after he gets out of the water, that the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness. Right out into the wilderness. And I love that what happens before Jesus steps out of that water and into the wilderness, there's something else that special happens. Not only does his baptism inaugurate him into ministry, but it also gives him an identity that could not be taken away. God says, "This is my son who I love and with whom I am well pleased." Now, keep in mind, Jesus receives this blessing from his father before he ever taught a sermon. Before he ever performed a miracle, he didn't do anything. Jesus received his identity outside of anything he did, outside of his performance. And then he's just thrust into the wilderness. And I want to tackle and answer three questions for us today as we start this series, okay, for the next several weeks. Here's the questions I want to answer today. What is wilderness? How do we find ourselves in a wilderness space, and what happens when we're there? All right, so those are the three we're going to tackle today. Here's the first one. What is wilderness? What is it? What is it in the Bible? What is it that happens to us? So in ancient times, in ancient cultures, the wilderness was always a place to be feared. Okay, if you lived out in the desert places or out in the wilderness in ancient times, you were susceptible to sandstorms and terrible weather, to wild animals, to marauding bandits, to enemy armies. And people in the cities felt safe. There was a wall in the city. And so that's why in all the movies that take place in some ancient culture or medieval times, you know, when the army is riding in, you got all the peasants screaming and running for their lives into the city gates, right? That was real. Okay? Because in the wilderness, you were susceptible to harm, but in the city, you were safe, you were protected, you were comfortable. And that was true in ancient times. That's how people lived. All right? So we find this wilderness imagery throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. You find time and time again people in Scripture encounter God and have these experiences in deserted places, in desert places in the wilderness. It's a theme that carries throughout Scripture. Jesus seems to approach the wilderness in this text and in every point that we see in his life, not as a place to fear, but as a place to be confronted. Like, in the wilderness was a place of challenge to be confronted head on. It was a place where Jesus felt that there was something that would stir in him. Here's the thing. In Jesus' mind, the wilderness was a place to encounter God and to be changed, to be formed. The challenge and the confrontation would form him. You often see Jesus in Scripture, and as you read through the Gospels, you might see this, where he leaves a place, and the Gospel writer will tell us Jesus headed off to a solitary place, right? And that solitary place is wilderness. It can mean a desert place or a wild, untamed place. So Jesus would often, in ministry, find himself busied in life, stressed, concerned, tired in the city. He would leave, and he would intentionally go into the wilderness to be alone with God, to encounter God in some way. He would do it on purpose. He saw it as a place to meet up with God. And I'm telling you right now, when we ask ourselves, well, what is this wilderness that maybe I'm experiencing? What is this wilderness that we see in the Bible? It's a wild, untamed place where God is encountered. And to do his deepest work of forming your heart and drawing it closer to his. This should be no surprise to you, and I remember several weeks ago, I actually used some of this as an example in a message when I was here, that almost every culture, kind of except ours, has in history had a coming-of-age initiation rites for young men and young women. And it's no surprise that for young men, all of these cultures involved a young man being sent out into the wilderness, away from community, away from family, out of the city, with nothing but the clothes on their back or a simple tool. And they're sent out into the wilderness. This happened all over the world in nearly every culture, on every continent. All right? And the young man would have to just forge his way. Who is he going to become when he emerges? Who is he? Who is she? Now, in our modern Western society, we've kind of lost that, haven't we? We actually live in a society that kind of would love to just sidestep the wild, sidestep the challenge and the confrontation of wilderness. We'd like to neatly control everything and make it comfortable. We do this in the way that we receive our news. We control the way people on social media see us, the images they see, the attitudes that they get to experience from us. We see it in our entertainment choices. We can control that. It just tailored to us, and we just push a button. There's no wandering. It's easy. It's comfortable. We can control our money. Everything. You know what really actually ticks me off is that everything takes reservations now. Like, you can't just make a plan to just go someplace. You got to have national parks. Well, you know, probably 18 months ago, sir, you should have known that you wanted to come and reserved a spot. What? I've got to reserve a spot like a year and a half before I even think I want to. It's insane. Camping spots, restaurants, you name it, everything's reservation now. You can't just spontaneously go anywhere. We don't want to take the chances out in the wild. You got to control it. You got to know it's a guaranteed thing. It's got to be easy. It's got to be comfortable. We can control our identity and gender. And I know that's tough. That's a really difficult thing for families to wrestle with. We've learned, our modern Western society has taught us to fear the wilderness, to be afraid of it. That our culture rebuffs the challenging places. Our culture's taught us to fear it, to hate it, to avoid the confrontation and the discomfort in the wild at all costs. So here's a definition of wilderness. What is the wilderness? I'm trying to paint this picture. Here's a definition we've come up with, and we'll share this with you off and on throughout the series. The wilderness is a challenging season in life where God wants to use to form and deepen our dependence upon Him. That's what the wilderness is. It's a challenging season in life that God wants to use to form and deepen our dependence upon Him. So that's the definition of wilderness that we're going to just kind of hang our hat on through this series, okay? And that's what the wilderness is. In the wilderness, we encounter God. But let's keep unpacking that a little bit more. Here's the second question. How do we get there? How do we just find ourselves in a wilderness space? And the answer to that is not going to be very surprising to you. In fact, I think probably most of us know some of these answers. How do we find ourselves? Jesus came out of the water, Son of God, fully loved, and He was immediately thrust out into the wilderness where He experienced temptation from Satan. But how do you get there? How do I get there? How do I end up in a wilderness place where I feel like I'm in a place of crisis or challenge or discomfort? The first reason that you and I will find ourselves in a wilderness season in our life, in a desert place, is because of sin. It's because of our sin. I don't need to even list very many examples for you about what the consequences of our own sin is or could be. It's there. We hurt someone. We break a relationship. We lie to someone. We hurt them and mar our integrity. We put a thoughtless social media post out, and it breaks someone. It's consequences. We've got consequences to our sin. Maybe we get caught. Maybe you get caught coming in late from curfew. Maybe we get caught by the boss for doing something unethical at work. Maybe your search history is found by a spouse or one of your parents or a boss at work. Maybe there's a lack of forgiveness in your heart. You just got to bottle up, you know, that resentment. And there's those secret sins that nobody knows about, but we still feed it. You know, those things, and you know this, I mean, I know this, those things like catch up to you, don't they? They kind of wreck your mental health, they wreck your heart, your body, your physical body. And we find ourselves, because of our own choices, in some of these wilderness places. Places where we just kind of are wandering with regrets, you know, and pain, and hurt, and brokenness, isolation, and maybe shame. And I think about the people in Scripture who found themselves in wilderness. I mean, I think about Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and after which he felt like he needed to give the money back to the people who paid him off, and then he ended up taking his own life. Because he couldn't, that isolation, that pain, the regret was too much for him. Peter, who denied even knowing Jesus in the moment of his arrest and crucifixion. It says Peter went out, maybe outside of the city, maybe, I don't know where he went, and maybe into a deserted place, and he wept bitterly, the gospel writers tell us. Regret, brokenness, he hurt someone. The woman that was caught in adultery and thrown at Jesus' feet, naked, or maybe with just a bed sheet wrapped around her in the middle of the crowd, right there in front of Jesus, broken, ashamed. Do you see what I'm saying? The wilderness places, and sometimes we'll find ourselves there because we put ourselves there as a consequence of our own sin. But how else do we get into those places? That's not always the reason. Some of the places that you're in right now, sometimes we get there because something happened to us. Sometimes it's the sin we do, and sometimes it's something that happened to us. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's health concerns. Or you lose someone you love. You lose a job. Someone wounds you. You know, the sins of other people can send you into a wilderness experience, can't it? Yeah, that happens. Someone hurts you. See, these things can send us into a wilderness place of anxiety, depression, helplessness, despair, anger, and you can live in those desert places for a long time, can't you? From the things that happen to you. And I think about the man that came to Jesus just infected with the skin disease, the leprosy, and he says, Jesus, I've been living with this for so long. Would you cleanse me? Would you heal me? Or I think about the man in his age and anger who was possessed by a demon that was just living in the cemetery at the time, rejected from his neighbors because he was so violent and angry and horrible to be around. And Jesus cast that demon out. You see, sometimes you're spent spiraling into a place of wilderness in life because life happened to you. And it hurts. And we struggle here, and I don't have time to get into all of this is a whole different topic, okay? But we struggle here, and we say, well, then why would God let blank happen to me? Why would he? And sometimes a person who's well-meaning, and I've said this, and probably will say it again, but some might answer, well, he didn't cause it. And while that's true, I honestly, if I'm in pain, it's an empty answer. It's unsatisfactory. It doesn't quite answer it. It doesn't make me feel better. He didn't cause it. And then we say, yeah, but he could have done something about it. Isn't that true? Isn't it? Yeah. And when you're in this season of wilderness in your life, how do you know that God's not doing something about it? Just because you can't think of any good reason or thing that God might bring out of your trial and your suffering and your wilderness doesn't mean that he doesn't have one. Just because you can't think of what it might be. Here's a third way, and we see it in Scripture too, that you and I will sometimes find ourselves in some of these desert places, these wilderness experiences, and that is that God leads you there. He just kicks open the door and says, let's go. Now, sometimes that's a decision that about life or about faith or about a sin issue in your life that you just need to make. You're confronted with a decision, and God's like, come in. Let's go. Let's walk this. And sometimes it's an opportunity to surrender an attitude, to surrender your finances, to surrender your plans for your life, to surrender your relationships with other people to God. And that opportunity, just a door opens for you to surrender and be obedient to Christ in those things. God just sometimes wants to get your attention, okay? Because he knows you're confused about who you are. He knows that you and I will be confused about what we're here for. He knows that you'll be confused about what you're supposed to be doing, and he has answers. See, sometimes God's leading you someplace that you're pretty hesitant to go. Have you ever been in that place? See, sometimes God's leading you into a wilderness place. Because you see, God can really take any wilderness that you're in, any wilderness in our lives to form us to people who trust him, who love him, and depend on him more. And he's eager to do it. I think about when Mary got this invitation or this announcement from an angel that she was going to be pregnant with the Son of God. You talk about a woman who was just drop-kicked into a wilderness experience. I mean, she was like, what? Okay. Ah. And then she like packs her bags and she travels a pretty far distance to stay with her cousin Elizabeth for some time. The woman was in a wilderness space that God just said, come on. Paul, on his road to Damascus, there to arrest and murder Christians, was blinded by a light. The men who were with him were like dumbstruck. And Paul was blinded for some time, encountering Jesus. You talk about a guy that thought he was going to Damascus to do one thing, and Jesus like, oh, no, you're going to go to Damascus to do something very different for me. Wilderness. See, God is eager in those times in our lives to take what he'll turn a valley of trouble into like a gateway of hope. In the wilderness, we encounter God. Here's a third question. What happens in the wilderness? What happens when we're there? Now, Satan attempts to take advantage of Jesus' situation and the place that he's in. Oh my gosh, the evil one will do the same thing to you. Take advantage of the situation that you are in and twist it. And Satan's going to attempt Jesus with three things. He's going to tempt Jesus. He will attempt also, but with three things that the world will tempt you and me with as well. The first one is to be relevant. He says, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? I know you're hungry. What Satan's wanting to do is to attack and question Jesus' God-given identity. Do you see what he asked there? If you are the Son of God, God had just said when he was baptized, what? This is my Son, whom I love and with whom I am pleased. Satan's tactic is always the same, to get you to not believe what God said. If you are the Son of God, he did the same thing to Eve in the garden a few thousand years before that. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat the fruit of that? Well, now that you mention it, I'm not really sure. See, Satan's tactics are always the same. God said, did he really say? Are you really lovable? Are you really man enough? Are you really beautiful? Did God really say that he would forgive you? Are you sure there's not a few things that you need to do in order to deserve it first? See, in the wilderness places is exactly when you and I are vulnerable. We're vulnerable, all right? And we're questioning, and that's okay. That's okay. We're questioning things. And what the evil one would like to say to you, as he says to Nathan, when I'm in one of these seasons, maybe you should seek your identity, maybe you should seek your relevance in this world from some place else. But Jesus knows who God said he is. And he remembers that. He remembers God's words. And God's words are enough to ground Jesus in that wilderness space that God is believable. He's believable. So Satan tries again. This time attacking Jesus' desire to be important, our desire to feel like we're someone, to feel important. He says, let me take you up to the temple. Throw yourself over. God will send angels to rescue you and lift you up. And then all of the people will say, wow, this guy's amazing. What Satan wants to do is question God's love and care. In the wilderness spaces, the evil one will do the same to you. God doesn't have your best interest in heart. God doesn't love you. He's abandoned you. You're on this journey. You're on it alone. You're walking this thing by yourself. God's slow, he's incompetent, and he's too distant. Your performance is what really matters. So work harder. Do better. Be better. Get yourself out of this mess. And Jesus knew that God's grace was enough. That when God said, this is my son, identity, and I love him, that his love was unending, and God was believable. And so Satan said one more time, one more time. So this time Satan's going to say, here's what I'm going to do. I want to take you up on a mountain. I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world, all the wealth, all the power, because I want to tempt you to see who's really in control here. Who's really in control of your life? So Satan says to you, when we're in this wilderness space, you know who got you here. God put you here. You screwed up, and he's mad at you. You're in this wilderness place, and you deserve it. You're in this wilderness, you're in this desert, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You're isolated, you're hurting, you're in crisis, and you just need to live with it, or you need to do something about it. You need to take control of your own life, because he's not going to. And Jesus knew that God has a plan for his life. Jesus knew, at least this much, that God had a plan, and he was going to walk with Jesus through it. See, Satan, this is what happens to you and I when we're in the wilderness. Satan wants to keep you dissatisfied and afraid. Aren't you sick of being afraid? Aren't you tired of being afraid? Because Satan wants to keep you in a place of wandering, and while you wander, of just spiraling. But it's in the desert places. It's in the wilderness places that God confirms Jesus' only source of his identity and purpose is the Father in heaven. And it's yours and mine too. See, we don't need to be afraid of the wilderness. This is what I want to share with you. We don't need to be afraid of these things. It's in these wilderness places that God is wooing us. I mean, he's calling to us. No matter how you got there, he's like calling to your heart. You don't need to be afraid of this season. Because the wilderness isn't always bad. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, God doesn't intend for you and I to stay in the wilderness space forever. Okay, he's not going to keep you in that place forever. And we say, God, could you just please take me out of this place? God, could you just heal this? God, could you restore and fix this? God, fix this relationship. God, get me out of this season. God, please get me to a different place, a better place in my life. And what if the wilderness, what if God's looking at your heart? And he's saying, no, you got it wrong. The wilderness isn't necessarily a place you need rescued from. The wilderness is a place you need led through. You need led through it. God will take anything, and he's desperate to do it. God wants to take anything that Satan intended to crush your heart, and he wants to turn it and form it so that you'll long for his heart. He wants to give you his heart. To depend on his heart. Why do you think Jesus, after this horrific, seemingly 40-day experience, once he got out of it, he was constantly wanting to go back? He was always going back. Why? Because he experienced something in that season. He encountered his Father. And he was learning a dependence on his Father, a trust on his Father, what submission to his Father looked like, and how his Father was forming his own heart. The cross that Jesus experienced when he was nailed there was the ultimate in wilderness experience. Isolated, forgotten, abandoned, painful crisis and challenge. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ put himself on that cross so that you and I would never have to walk a wilderness forever. We will never be in wilderness forever. And that's good news. That is gospel good news. And it's for every single one of us. See, sometimes in the wilderness, we're stuck like the disciples were in Saturday. You know, just last weekend, like the disciples were stuck. Friday, Jesus was dead. And so Saturday, before Sunday's resurrection, was a place of hopelessness, despair. What was it all for? Who am I? What's it all about? This is a tragedy. And sometimes in the wilderness, you and I are stuck in Saturday. And we're just stuck in Saturday. And we don't feel like there's any way out. And I'm telling you this right now, you will not stay in Saturday forever. And you and I will all come to Sunday completely a changed person. Formed closer to the heart of God. So this is the cross. The bad things can become good. The good things can't be taken away from you. And the best things are yet to come. And that is what the cross means in your season of wilderness. Right after Jesus is baptized and resists the devil, Matthew says this happens. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. Today, if you've never made the decision to be baptized and let Jesus, God's given identity in your life, just wash over you in faith, for you to know that God claims you as his son and his daughter, deeply loved. And if you've never received Jesus, you've never been baptized, we would love to talk to you up front here afterwards. We'd love to pray with you as we sing a song here in just a moment. We'd love to pray with you. In the wilderness season in your life, you can't get enough prayer. Asking God to form your heart in the midst of it. I love verse 19. Right after the wilderness, Jesus says, "Now you, come follow me." In this season, I want to challenge you to come and follow a Savior who has gone through the wilderness and will walk with you through yours. Isn't that good news? Pray with me. Jesus, God, thank you for being a God who knows exactly how we feel where we are, who has not abandoned us. And no matter what desert places we're in right now, Father God, I thank you for walking it with us. Make yourself known. Draw our hearts closer to yours, Father. Form us to a place of joy in you and dependence and trust on you, Father. We're not alone, and we won't be here forever. And for that, God, we are grateful. In the name of Jesus, amen.